Tink, I see what you're smiling about. This is a wonderful crowd we've got this morning. Tink asked me yesterday, what are you preaching about? And I said, I'm going to be preaching about rising above discouragement. And as I was watching all the people filing this morning, I thought, man, I need to preach something else besides that, because this is really encouraging to see all of your faces here this morning. So, but we're going to take a look at how we can rise above discouragement, because if we let discouragement reign in our lives, we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. It can be devastating to us in our lives. And, you know, a lot of us, we get discouraged with all kinds of relationships, with friends and family, and we get discouraged at work. We even get discouraged with our church family, don't we? It happens. You know, oftentimes we look at the Old Testament and we think, man, why can't I be more like those prophets? Those guys were like superheroes. And, you know, they were, because God was with them. They did amazing things, but you know what? A lot of those guys suffered with severe discouragement. It's true. You know, Jeremiah expresses discouragement 6 times. 6 times he confesses to God that he's discouraged and weary. God called Elijah out of the cave after Elijah had just killed, or God just killed, the 450 prophets of Baal. And Jezebel says that, I'm going to make your life like those prophets. And he gets scared to death, and he runs through the desert, and he goes in the wilderness, and he leaves his helper there, and he keeps on going further and further away from anybody and everything, and hides in a cave. Job was discouraged. Job told his friends, comforters you are not. He was very discouraged. Jonah, we talked about Jonah this morning. In Jonah chapter 4, when the Assyrians repented, he said, when he prayed to God, he said, I knew this would happen. Because he knew who God was. And he couldn't imagine that God would want the Assyrians to repent. Misguided his discouragement was, he still was discouraged. So we see these prophets and we sometimes think that you know, we need to be more like them, and we do. But they did have discouragement in their lives. So we're going to look at some ways this morning, or how we can rise above discouragement. But we're going to look at first things that bring discouragement. And then we're going to look at how to overcome discouragement. And that first one is that we've overdone it and we've exhausted ourselves. Watch out. This is when we need to watch out and be careful. This is where, if we're not careful, we can sin. We can say and do things that we don't mean, and some of those things are hard to take back. But when we're tired and weary, these things can happen to us. If you recall, this is where Satan came to tempt Jesus after he had been in the desert fasting and praying for 40 days. Scripture says he was tired and weary, and that's when Satan came in. Satan came in and tempted him with his own hunger and his pride and things like that. God told Cain that sin was crouching at the door. It desires to have you. Genesis 4:7. He says you must learn to master it. He says that sin actually wants to master you. That means it wants you as a slave to sin. If this is when Satan came to tempt Jesus, don't you think that you should be on your guard when you're tired and you're weary from overdoing it and from being exhausted? It's important for us to have proper rest and to be properly motivated. How did Jesus master that discouragement from Satan? He did it with the Word of God, didn't he? He quoted Scripture to Satan. He relied on Scripture. He turned to Scripture. So we need to be careful and not become exhausted and not overdoing it. I saw on Facebook the other day, one of those yellow caution signs. You know what I'm talking about? And it had a silhouette of someone with an arm that was broken off, and it said, caution, VBS workers. So, you know, we can get discouraged when we're thinking about VBS coming up. But think about the wonderful blessing that's going to be for all of us and for those that come to VBS. So we need to be careful not overdo it and become exhausted and get weary about worrying about VBS. Right? Second, let's look at another reason for discouragement. We feel alone and worthless. We feel alone and worthless. Jeremiah, like I mentioned, six times Jeremiah expressed discouragement to God. And a lot of times we forget that discouragement, don't we? We see Jeremiah out there preaching and doing those things, but he was discouraged. God had him doing a tough job. Jeremiah 15:10, "Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth." Really? "I am neither lent for interest, nor have any man lent me for interest. Every one of them curses me." Boy, he felt pretty alone, didn't he? He felt pretty worthless. When God speaks to Elijah from the cave, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I alone am left." And God says, "Return. Go back. Go and anoint Jehu king, and also anoint Elisha as prophet, your replacement." God knew Elijah was about done. He had done great things for God, but he was weary and he was tired, and God knew he needed to give him relief. But can't we get like that sometimes? When you get discouraged, what do? Retreat. Go into our basement, if you've got a basement, and turn off the lights, right? I see Tink, Elbow, and Tammy. I do that. I want to run off and hide sometimes. And you know, I get out there and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? You know, that's something that Christians, we need to draw to one another. James tells us that draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Why do we think that we're supposed to run and hide when we get discouraged, when we see clearly, poor Elijah here. Look at the wonder great things Elijah did. He stood one of the unfaithful kings and said that you're being unfaithful to God. And his wife, that was probably the puppet master, she was a wicked woman. And Elijah did those great things by the power of God. But he forgot that God was his mighty fortress. And he let that queen Jezebel scare the daylights out of him. He was one that called down fire from heaven by the power of God. But he was afraid. There's also a third reason why we have discouragement. And that we forget God is our fortress. We forget God is our fortress. When Jeremiah called to God, he said, "For behold, I have made you..." Or when God called Jeremiah in the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18, God tells him, "For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of this land. I have made you a mighty fortress." You know, we may not totally get that today because, you know, people of that time, they had fortified cities. And the people actually wanted to live inside the city. Nowadays, we don't want to live in the city. We want to go out in the country, don't we? But people lived in the city. They had big, thick walls, big, thick gates with guards that guarded so nobody could get in and hurt anybody. God says, "I'm that fortified city for you." Jeremiah would understand that. God strengthened him with those words. And every time Jeremiah expressed discouragement, God reminded him, "I am your mighty fortress. I am your walls, your bronze walls, powerful walls." Don't forget that, Jeremiah. But Jeremiah had a tough job to do, didn't he? He spoke to all the people about the things that they were doing, and then God says, "Don't pray for these people anymore." And Jeremiah, he was probably confused and wondering what he was really doing. He fulfilled God's work. You know, we can get discouraged in this world, can't we? We see people on TV telling us about, you know, these prominent atheists that are rising up and they're teaching other atheists how to make Christians look bad, and that can bring discouragement. But we forget that God is our mighty fortress. We forget that He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, protecting us from any kind of evil that can come our way and stand against us. Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not sin. Trust in God. Tink nailed it this morning with the songs of encouragement. And you know, and sometimes I wonder, we're all sitting there, and if you're not the song leader, you don't get a look out and see all the faces. And I sometimes think that, wouldn't it be really great if we could just form one of those fellowship rings and sing to each other? Scripture says, sing to one another. I'd like to see your face sometimes. And the last week when I was at Bear Valley and we were in chapel, singing, I couldn't help but look around at all those guys' faces that pretty soon I wasn't going to get to see every day. And it made me think about the work that each of us had to do as Christians, that you know, sometimes we all of a sudden we move and leave, and then families come in, and it's encouraging and it's discouraging when people leave. But we know that when we go different places, we're taking the gospel with us, or we should be. That should be encouraging to us. But we forget that God is our mighty fortress. He is our protector. Jeremiah 15:20, God says, I will make to you this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. I like that. They shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. God fortifies. He is our protector, and He provides us strength. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Christians have promises from God, don't we? He's given us all kinds of promises. Acts 2:39, the free gift of God. The Holy Spirit that He gives us as a deposit, as a down payment, an assurance that we have. We have an inheritance kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1:4 through 5. We talked about that inheritance this morning in class. Moses referred to God's people, Israel, as God's inheritance. Gerald read from Ephesians this morning. Ephesians 1:18. What is the hope of His inheritance of the saints? God wants you. He doesn't want anything to happen to His inheritance. He wants you to commit to His Son Jesus. He wants you to live a life that's worthy of repentance. Discouragement can just wreck our lives. How about a top 10 list of I will never leave you scriptures? Scriptures you can write down in your Bible. If you don't get them, you can ask them later. Let's look at 10 scriptures that can fortify us and give us strength of I will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, He is one. He goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. 1 Kings 8:57, may the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us nor forsake us. 1 Chronicles 28:20, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord our God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of His house of the Lord. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His, listen to that, inheritance. Isaiah 41:17, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 42:16, I will bring the blind by the way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. You know, a lot of times I think when we read Old Testament scriptures, you know, we look at all those things that God said for Israel, and then we forget that in some ways these do apply to us. But all these scriptures about never leaving us and not forsaking us, one of my favorite here that really drives this point home is Hebrews 13:5. The writer of Hebrews says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That phrase comes directly from Deuteronomy 13:6, Joshua 1:5, and 1 Chronicles 28:20. Three scriptures that we looked at in that top 10 list. So there are things that we can look to fight discouragement, right? So let's look at now some things of how we can overcome discouragement. How about staying in the Word? All those mighty, powerful 10 verses about God, and those are just a few of God saying, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation as an atonement for sin. He did that for us. Just like we've seen from this top 10 list, God is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. These things are encouraging for us to read. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is true. He makes good on His promises. Joshua 21:43-45, this Joshua says that God fulfilled all the promises, all the land promises that He made for Israel. God made good on those. It's good for us to look in Scripture and to see that God was faithful and that He made good on those promises. You know, we have a promise this morning of eternal life, of eternity with God, to be never again separated from Him. God's been working since the beginning of time, getting man back in a relationship with Him. Scripture reminds us of the faithfulness of God. We need to be reading that. We need to stay in the Word and continually read those things that God makes good on promises. God is faithful. God is true. Doesn't that make sense? To keep your mind fresh and to know that God is never going to leave us. We shouldn't be discouraged. And I know we do. We get discouraged. We need to follow Christ's example and talk to God. Many times we see Jesus retreating to a place, being alone and praying to God. But, you know, one of my favorite prayers that we see Jesus making is when they had just had the Passover meal and He was in a private setting with the apostles in John 17. And when He prayed that prayer in the presence of the apostles, man, that's an encouraging prayer. That is so encouraging to see what Jesus has to say in the presence of the apostles praying to His Father in heaven. John 17 is a powerful chapter in the book of John. It's a great example for us to look at. And even though that He is praying in a very private setting with the apostles, it's easy for us to take those principles and apply those things to us about the powerful nature of God. God can't fail. It is impossible for God to fail. Shouldn't that give us encouragement? It should give us great encouragement. How about spend time with brethren? Ooh, that's one we got to work on a little bit, I think. And you know, Worland's no different than anywhere else, and we've been to many places, and there's a lot of places that don't do a very good job about brethren and fellowshipping together. And I'm not talking about just once a month when we gather here and we bring in a lot of casseroles. Those are great times when we are together. But how about those times when it has nothing to do with the first day of the week, about, are you friends with each other? Do you like to spend time with each other? man, I love the opportunity that I have as a minister that you know, when I first came here and the very first time I met you all and the committee told me what they wanted me to do, and well, it about made me cry. I was, you know, when you're a minister and you look at those job requirements that churches put on ministers, and they told me, we want you going out part of the day and visiting with the members. And I'm like, what? That's awesome. And it's given me an opportunity to get to know a lot of you and become form deeper friendships with you. I'm so blessed as a minister here in Worland, Wyoming, with the task that you want me to do. I love that fact. I've looked at those requirements before and think, when do you ever get a study? Or they say they want a married person, but then they don't really want a married person because there's all these things they want you to do that you have no time for your family, let alone the brethren. So I am so blessed here in Worland to be a minister of God's Word here to you. That's very encouraging to me. And that helps me to be encouraged. What else? Fellow soldiers have the same things in common, don't we? We forget sometimes that we're soldiers of Christ. And we've got so many, we have more things in common as Christians than we have outside of Christ. We look down that list from Ephesians, the first chapter, and Colossians, the first chapter, about all those things that we have as Christians in common when we are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I just love to go look at that list from Ephesians and Colossians and find out all those things that we have in Christ Jesus. We have salvation, we have an inheritance, we have forgiveness of sins, we have the down payment of the Holy Spirit, and the list goes on and on and on. There are so many wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus that can help us to overcome discouragement. When we come together and worship God, I'm encouraged when we stay together and we visit for just a little bit longer and we're not so hurried to get out of here and to get on with our lives, it seems like, sometimes when we leave worship. To me, that's discouraging when we just let out of here when the whistle blows and we're out of here like crazy. I love to watch and stand back and watch you visiting with one another. Boy, that is so encouraging. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 10, verses 20 through 24, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Do you consider one another? Do you consider how important it is to stir each other up? I know you love Jesus. I know you're when you meditate and you think how great it is to have a Savior. Aren't you thankful you have a Savior? Church? Amen. Amen. I know you've heard me say that many times, and maybe that sounds a little bit corny, but isn't it wonderful to know that God gave us a Savior? You know, when you look back and we've talked about some of these prophets of God that we might think of as superheroes, but James tells us about Elijah was a man with a nature just like us. Guess what? He messed up. He got discouraged. But he also, by the power of God, was able to do some mighty things. God worked amazing things through that prophet. And James says, we have a nature just like that guy. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed, and we shouldn't make each other feel bad when we get discouraged, right? Because we're supposed to encourage each other and spur one another on. And I'm telling you what, this morning, boy, I think the songs and Gerald, your words at the table, they are strengthening. They give us great encouragement. This morning has been very encouraging. It's good for us to rise above discouragement. So go to worship and get energized. Praise your God together. Be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. You know, one of those cautions in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and following about some of those things that those people weren't doing, that it says, although they knew God, they did not give Him glory, nor were they thankful. Whew, that's one. I don't know why some things stick in your mind and some things stick in my mind, but that one rings loud with me. They were not thankful. I don't want to be one that walks through the course of my life never being thankful to God. Isn't it amazing how, as we've been studying 1 Peter and 2 Peter about all the times they say, I'm going to remind you. Yes, it's good for me to remind you. And sometimes we get discouraged. We get reminded so much. But that scripture is there to save our lives, to give us a relationship with God that we cannot have outside of Christ Jesus. You can't have blessings outside of Christ, not spiritual blessings. You can't have a Savior outside of Christ. No one comes to God except through Christ Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. 1 Peter tells that those that were wandering have now returned to the chief shepherd of their soul. That is awesome. Must be in Christ to have spiritual blessings. That's an encouragement. When you look at those books, Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Paul does an incredible job, or God does an incredible job through that writer of telling us all the spiritual blessings we have. How about 1 Peter? We've been studying 1 Peter on Wednesday night. All that God has done. Peter builds up the Christians there with an incredible amount of encouragement of what God has done through Christ Jesus. And this morning, I ask you this, has God done those incredible things through your life or through Christ Jesus' life? We said this morning in class, nothing else matters. Jesus Christ is alive. Isn't that awesome? God is faithful. His own power was demonstrated when He rose Christ Jesus from the dead. Discouragement should be fleeing from you right now. That is the most encouraging news that any of us can possibly hear and that we can possibly tell. Christ Jesus is alive and He is sitting at the right hand of God in power and dominion. There is nothing that is supreme to Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that in the Ephesian letter, that He has dominion over everything. In the heavenly places and the earthly places, there is no one that has dominion above Christ Jesus. Let Christ reign in your hearts this morning. If you are subject to this lesson this morning, I encourage you. Come forward. Be redeemed by Christ Jesus' precious blood, the Lamb's blood of life. If you are a Christian and you've been discouraged and you need the encouragement of the church, I encourage you to come forward this morning and let us fall on your neck and kiss your neck and just love you and let you know how much God loves you and how much we love you. We want to do that for you this morning. Won't you come as we stand and sing?